Okay. Canto 4, Chapter 5, The Frustration of the Sacrifice of Daksha, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Akram Yurasi Dakshasyam.
Akram Yurasi Dakshasyam.
Sitadhari Nahetinam.
Sitadhari Nahetinam.
Chintanapi Tad Udhartum.
Chintanapi Tad Udhartum.
Nasakam Chiyopakashtata.
Nasakotriyamakashtata.
Akramya.
Akramya.
Having sat.
Urashi,
on the chest,
Dakshasya,
of Daksha, Sita Dharina, having a sharp blade, Hetina, with a weapon, Chindan, cutting, Hopi, even though, Tat, that head, Udhartitum, to separate, na ashanot, was not able, Tri Ambala, Virabhadra,
who had three eyes,
Tada, after this. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace the Boy Charanada in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Then Virabhadra, the giant-like personality, sat on the chest of Daksha and tried to separate his head from his body with a sharp weapon, but was unsuccessful. Text 23. He tried to cut off the head of Daksha with hymns as well as weapons, but still it was so hard that even to cut the surface of the skin of Daksha's he tried to cut off the head of Daksha with hymns as well as weapons, but still it was hard to cut even the surface of the skin of Daksha's head. Thus Virabhadra was exceedingly bewildered. Text 24. When Virabhadra saw the wooden device in the sacrificial arena by which the animals were to have been killed, he took the opportunity of the facility to behead Daksha. Purport. In this connection, it is to be noted that the device used for killing animals in the sacrifice was not designated to facilitate eating their flesh. The killing was specifically intended to give new life to the sacrificed animal by the power of Vedic mantras. The animals were sacrificed to test the strength of the Vedic mantras. Yagnas were performed to test of the mantras. Even in the modern age, tests are executed on animal bodies in the physiology laboratory. Similarly, whether or not the brahmanas were uttering the Vedic hymns correctly was tested by the sacrifice in the arena. On the whole, the animals thus sacrificed were not at all the losers. Some old animals would be sacrificed, but in exchange for their old bodies, they received they received other new bodies. That was the test of the Vedic hymns. Virabhadra, instead of sacrificing animals with a wooden device, immediately beheaded Daksha to the astonishment of everyone. Text 25. Upon seeing the action of Virabhadra, the party of Lord Shiva was pleased and cried out joyfully, but all the Bhutas, and all the Bhutas, ghosts and demons, who had come made a tumultuous sound. On the other hand, the Brahmanas in charge of the sacrifice cried out in grief at the death of Daksha. 26. Virabhadra then took the head, and with great anger he threw it on the southern side of the sacrificial fire, offering it as an oblation. In this way, the followers of Lord Shiva devastated their arrangements for sacrifice. After setting fire to the whole arena, they departed for their master's abode, Kailash. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the fourth canto, fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Frustration of the Sacrifice of Daksha. Om Agyan Timidam Dasha Janam Janam Shalake Vasudam Yudhan Yudhashmanish Daya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadata Shiva Shari Gaur Vakvanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. See, here we see the what was supposed to be a very auspicious happening turned out to be a great disaster due to the criticism of Lord Shiva, the greatest of all the Vaishnavas, by Daksha specifically. And as a result, actually, he has his head cut off. And he's throwing that head in the southern side of the sacrificial fire, the southern side. When you're doing pinda, you offer it on the southern side when they offer the pinda to the forefathers, and they offer it to the southern side. So here, Daksha, Virabhadra, he's got the head and he's offering it as an oblation into the sacrificial fire on the southern side. when there's Vashika worshipping the forefathers, and in Pitraloka, then the offerings are made towards the southern side. And then they get the inhabitants of Pitraloka get the benefit. Of course, this is Karmakanda activities, the performance of doing the Shraddha ceremony, doing the Pinda ceremony, doing the this is for people who want to stay in the material world, so they worship their forefathers. And by doing that, they go to Pitraloka, they stay with their forefathers, just like most of you know, in Indian origin, so you know that you have a picture of your grandfather picture on the walls, and you offer some incense or something every day, they wave a little bit. And then when your father dies, you put his picture up also. And then every day they offer a bit of incense or a flower or something or some chandan. And then the great grandfather, when the grandfather dies, and anyway, so when the offering stops, they stop offering pinda to the forefathers, then the forefathers, they come down from Pitraloka, they've been to Pitraloka, they come down again and take birth again. And because of their attachment to that society they were living in, and the family with their gotra, they take birth exactly in the same community again. You get your community in India, we have our communities, the Goenkas and the Patals, and so they stick together. But the idea is that by worshipping the forefathers, they go to Pitraloka, and then here the sons and the grandsons, they put the picture on the wall, and they do worship. When the worship is finished, Or when the next future generations, after a few generations, they stop worshipping great-grandfather, at that time he comes back, he leaves Pitcherloka and he comes down to this material world, takes birth again in exactly the same community. And then he does the same thing again. He worships his forefathers there and he goes up to Pitcherloka and then he comes back. This goes on. And until the soul, see, the soul is seeking satisfaction in this world. He wants that happiness. That's ultimately everyone is seeking, happiness of the soul. So the dictation of the soul is saying he tried so many times worshipping the forefathers. As a result, he's still doing exactly the same thing, going up and down. So I'm not going to find it here. Then the consciousness changes and the soul moves on to another type of worship, or you worship a demigod or another particular activity or some other form of purification. And like this, the living entity, the soul is traveling, experiencing birth after same, moving through all these different species of life again and again. This is for people who want to stay in the material world, not for devotees. They want to get out. From birth you are a debtor. You have six debts to pay. It's called kinkara. You're a debtor. Rini and kinkara. Rini means you're a debtor. When you're born, you're a debtor to your mother, your parents who gave you the body. You're a debtor to the demigods that's supplying water, light, heat, everything. You're indebted to the rishis. You're indebted to the government who build roads and organize society. You're indebted to the rishi in your line. So all these debts have to be paid. So you're born a debtor. So the Vedic injunction is that you have to pay off these six debts. Otherwise it's sinful. You're in debt, you must pay it back. So then, as a result, you've got to pay it back, you've got to worship the pitchers, you've got to worship the devatas. But as a result of that, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Those who worship the devas, those who worship the pitchers, they go to Pitriloka. Those who worship the devas, they go to Devaloka. Those who worship the Buddhas, they go to the place of the Buddha. Those who worship me, they come to me, my supreme abode. What do they say? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You're a debtor, you've got to pay off your debt. And while paying off your debt, then you become a kinkara, you become a servant to those. And because you're a servant, in that time of leaving your body, he'll take you back to where you, to the Devaloka where you've been worshipping. So this is called Vedic nonsense. Not that the Vedas are nonsense, but we are nonsense. Because we're desiring to enjoy the material world. But for the devotees, it's not necessary to perform these Kamakanda activities because they've taken shelter of Krishna. Gopal Bhatta Goswami in his Sakriya Sardipika mentions that one who is initiated, it mentions that nowhere in any scripture of the world does it mention that a person should perform Shraddha rites, Tarpon, Pinda. Nowhere it mentions that anybody should perform these highest activities if he has been initiated in a bona fide sampradaya, Vaishnava sampradaya, and initiated into the holy name, then for him it's not necessary to do all these kamakanda rituals. For those who want to stay in the material world, they don't have an ambition to go back to Godhead, then they're obligated to follow all the rules of kamakanda section. But devotees who become serious about going back to Godhead, then these Karmakanda rules are not effective. So we just remember Pondrikaksham. Krishna, he has lotus-like eyes. By doing that, you become purified within and without. So there's not necessary to go through all these different purification processes. We take to the supreme path of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. And everything is accomplished. So, just like Hiranyakashipu, when he was in power, he had everybody worshipping him. Everybody. All the, and he would take all the offerings that were made. And so the Pitras were saying, you know, those inhabitants of Pitraloka, we're starving hungry because our sons and our grandsons, they're going to all the holy places, they're doing pinda there, they're doing their shraddha ceremonies there. But we're not getting it. They're offering the sesame seeds and mortar to the ancestors. But we're not getting it because Hiranyakashipu is eating everything. So that's why Lord Nrisimha, when he tore Hiranyakashipu apart and he put these intestines as a garland around his neck, ghastly, because that's where all the offerings meant for Vishnu, Krishna, Hiranyakashipu ate them all. So to show that Lord Nrisimhadev, to show that he'll accept all those devatas worship, then they were all within the testine, so they put the testine as a garland of all the offerings from the demigods, so to show I am accepting. And he showed them all the seeds, sesame seeds with water that the sons and grandsons have been offering to the Lord Nrisimha. He showed I'm accepting that offering now. So he showed them all that he is actually the benefactor. Bhoktaram jagatapasyam sarvarupamashva. This is Krishna's position. He is the bhokta, the enjoyer of everything. We see in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya and Shankazi, same thing there was there, and Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that the sacrifice, it wasn't facilitating to eat meat or anything like that. It was a sacrifice to rejuvenate the animals. But now that process is not being used. Prabhupada said in Calcutta they have a butcher shop, slaughterhouse, and they put the picture of Kali up there on the morning. They look Kali Prasad. Prabhupada is not exactly like that. They can offer a goat to Kali on the dark moonlight, but when the priest does it, he chants in the goat's ear that I'm killing you in this life, in your next life you can come and kill me. To dissuade the pujaris, if they come to their senses, well, what am I doing here? I'm making all these offerings to go to next life, I'm going to be killed. So it's a concession. For those who want to eat meat, it's a concession. For those who want to take wine, and you get that Soma Rush, you can do the Soma Chakra, things like that. But these are all concessions. They're not standard. That's why Narad Muni criticized Vyasadeva. He compiled all the scriptures, but he overemphasized on the Karmakanda sections, which are for enjoyment, for staying in the material world. You haven't emphasized Krishna enough. And so so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to march at the Shankazi's house, but he immediately came to this point of, he didn't preach so much philosophy to him, but he said about why you are killing cow. Cow is your mother. You take her milk. And your father, he tills the land. The bull, he's like the bull, he's supplying all the grains. So why you are killing your mother and father? And so that was it. Practically, he spoke on that point. Because meat eaters, they can't understand much more. And Prabhupada said that. He was meeting with some Christians, and they said, well, you know... and one of them said, well, can't you go on to more, you know, this is a bit mundane, we're here, can't you go on to some spiritual topics? Prabhupada said, no. He said, because you can't understand spiritual topics. As long as you're killing cows, you won't be able to understand. but we also see that Mahaprabhu, he went to Gaya, and he offered the Shraddha ceremony to his father, Jagannath Mishra. Of course, it was a plea. He was to set example to the other Brahmanas. So he was showing the example there that the Brahmanas should do their dharma, they should follow dharma to set a good example for others. But actually he was there to meet his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ishvara Puri a few times before, because he would come to Navadvip sometimes. Navadvip was the place to be at that time. All the hunts were there, and the temples, and the so that was the place. So, and it was considered the holy place. But everyone was there. Actually, it was like the seat of learning. Like Benares is considered the seat of learning today, the cultural center. At that time was Navadvip 500 years ago. So everybody would go there. So Ishvara Puri would go there, because he was a traveling sannyasi, so he would go here and there. And so there he met Ishvara Puri. And because Jagannath Mishra, Mahaprabhu's father, would invite him into his house whenever they saw him in Navadvipa. And Mahaprabhu would actually serve Ishvara Puri before he took initiation. He would help his father, and because his father was always serving sadhus and inviting them to take prasadam, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also help him. And so he had served Ishvara Puri, he had done some menial service. And Ishvara Puri knew him, was very pleased with him. So at that time, he took initiation from Ishvara Puri. And then Mahaprabhu was initiated into the... He gave him the chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu immediately got the effect. Before he was playing as that was his duty, materially speaking. But when he was initiated into the holy name, then he became transcendental to all activities. And as a result of that, he started to experience ecstasy immediately. Because of his sincerity in accepting that process, he got immediate results from it. He was chanting and he started to feel ecstasy. He went to his spiritual master and he said, how is it? I don't know what's happening, but when I'm chanting this mantra, sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm rolling on the ground. I think maybe I've become a bit fuggled, or maybe something, a little bit mad or something. Well, what is it? Well, what is the reason? So Ishvara Puri says, oh, very good, my child, very good, my son. Keep on chanting, keep on chanting. That's very good. Mahaprabhu is the acharya, so he's showing by example. Because he sincerely accepted that order of his guru and he sincerely chanted the holy name, he got response within a couple of days. He could feel the presence of the Lord. He got nama realization. Realizing of the holy name becomes in a progression. Nam rupa guna lila. So the holy name will reveal this. So might reveal, the holy name revealed his presence to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. Otherwise, where was that ecstasy coming from? It was coming from Krishna, the name of Krishna. The name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. So it was coming from Krishna's name. So he was feeling ecstasy. This is the first revelation, nama realization, that the holy name reveals his presence. And in that presence one feels transcendental ecstasy. Very ancient place. Anybody has been there? Kanai Nachala? Very beautiful place. We have a temple there. Right on the bank of the Ganga. The Ganga is like the ocean there. You can hardly see the other side. It used to be a mining area. They used to get chalk, some kind of a chalk. Or you put in soap and things like that. Kind of different clay. Anyway, they're very picturesque there. And it's like on top of a little mountain, little hill, high hill. The Ganga's right on the bottom there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed the footprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And he said, this place is not different than Vrindavan. The Radha Krishna deities are there also. Mahaprabhu's footprints are there. Radha Krishna's footprints are there. Said to be since the time of the Dwapara Yuga. And the Shingadev deity is there, a very astonishing deity. The Shingadev. Said they've been there for a long, long time. So they started to dig down. It was like the footprints run like on a column on a solid piece of stone. They were digging down, down, down. They had to go down about 8 or 9 feet this time. And then they could lift it up and move it to a new place. But underneath that was a beautiful deity of Nrsingadev, Prahlad Nrsingadev. Completely perfect. Not broken or anything like that. Kind of a greenish. When you put him in the, we put him in the sunlight, he was a kind of a greenish stone. Anyway, wherever Krishna is, generally these old temples and famous, you'll find a Nrsingadev is there. He's for protection. So it's the, even the big Krishna temples in South India, they always have a Nrsingadev there somewhere. So he's always the deva of protection. Anyway, that place Mahaprabhu visited it, and when he went there, he saw Krishna. He had a darshan of Krishna there in Kanai Nachala, near the Bihar border. And he saw Krishna. He told all the devotees when he came back to Navadvipa what had happened. He saw Krishna. He said, you all come tonight at Shuklambracharya's, Brahmacharya's house, I'll tell you what happened. Because Mahaprabhu will come back now, he was a bhakta. He was a devotee. So the news got round, Mahaprabhu has become a devotee at last, everyone was ecstatic. Before that, he was Nimai, naughty Nimai. He was very boisterous and playful, and he would tease the devotees. And they say, Nimai, you're so learned, why don't you become a devotee? You come from such a nice background, aristocratic Brahmin family. Why don't you become a devotee? Wasting your time studying. And oh, when you bless me, I'll become a great devotee. Even Lord Shiva will come and see me. Ah, oh, yes, I'll become your great devotee. But now he was that. He had changed completely. Now it was just Krishna, 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 Krishna all the way. So he told all the devotees gathered there, and he came and he told them what had happened, how he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, and he came, then from that Gaya he went to Kanai Nachala. He said, then I saw Krishna there. Krishna was playing his flute, and he went, come on, come on, he was calling me. And then I rushed to Krishna and he disappeared. Oh. Then he went into a mood of separate. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And all the devotees were astonished. At last, Mahaprabhu's become a devotee. So, Rupa, Nam, first Nama realization was there. He felt the ecstasy by the presence of Krishna's name. rupa. He saw the form of Krishna. The holy name revealed the form of Krishna. So the holy name revealed the form of your worshipful deity, who you have, you what your Ishtadeva, who you worship. The holy name will reveal that form in your heart. And then we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu, he's saying, my senses are tearing me apart. My eyes, they are rushing to Krishna. My sense of smell is rushing to Krishna. I want to embrace him. My ears are rushing. All my senses are fighting simultaneously to get to Krishna. They're like my senses are tearing me apart. The guna, revelation of the guna, the holy name is revealing the qualities of Krishna. So he could hear the sweetness of Krishna's voice, the softness of Krishna's touch. So this is all being revealed by the holy name, guna. He reveals the qualities of Krishna. Krishna's body is so delicate that when he walks through the grass, even if a blade of grass touches his foot, it leaves a white line. You know, sometimes if you press hard on your skin, you see it leaves a little white line. So it's just a blade of grass would touch Krishna's feet. That's how soft his lotus feet were. So he was, all these gunas, all the qualities of Krishna, the holy name was ecstasy. So all the devotees, they didn't like that when Mahaprabhu was unconscious. So they were all chanting Hare Krishna and waking him up. So then he woke up and said, why did you wake me up? Why did you call me? He said, I was there with all the Shakyas. We were picking these flowers. We were going to make garlands for Radha. Balabji, revealing he was participating in the lila. He was making garlands and picking flowers. So this is the progression. Nam guna rupa lila. That the holy name reveals to those who sincerely chant. And in Mahaprabhu's example, within a few days, a couple of days after initiation, he got the ecstasy. A few days after that, he got rupa. The Lord revealed himself. We're thinking, I've been chanting 10, 20, 30, 40 years, nothing's happening. Mahaprabhu was a few days. Because he was sincere, that was his qualification. He was, holy name is complete, the process is complete. It's Yuga Dharma. If we sincerely apply the process, the effect will be very quickly. Mahaprabhu showed us. It's not, although Mahaprabhu was was making a show. No, it was real for him. He really felt it. Because Mahaprabhu came as the bhakta avatar. He came as a devotee avatar to show. And when he comes in these different avatars, he takes on the mood of those different avatars. And he plays the imperfection. So when Mother Yashoda is, when she catches Krishna and she's showing that stick, and Krishna saw that stick and he was shivering, his pearl necklace was ting 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 ting. It wasn't a show, you know, I'm going to make a show for my mother because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was real. And he thought, my mum is going to beat me. Mummy, I've been an offender, please don't beat me. Throw that stick away, please. He was very scared. Because he was playing imperfection. Well, whatever Krishna does, he does imperfection. When he's a child, he's imperfection. So when he's a bhakta avatar, he's playing imperfection. And he was so sincere that he got immediate results. Bhavananda Prabhu, we asked Srila Prabhupada one time, how can Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that he is Chinadapish, that he is lower than the straw in the street? Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can he say that? And Prabhupada said, yes, he could say that because he understood that I am 1/10,000 size the tip of a hair, which is said to be the size of the soul. 1/10,000 size the tip of a hair is the size of the soul. So he said, because Lord Chaitanya was thinking that I'm 1/10,000 size the tip of the hair, therefore you have to be humble. You have to be lower than the store in the street. You have to be. If you know your size, we are lower than the speck of dust. 1/10,000 size of the tip of the hair is probably thousands of times smaller than one speck of dust. So Mahaprabhu was realizing that. He was playing imperfection as Bhakta avatar. And as a result of that, he could, understanding his infinite size, then he could pray very sincerely to Krishna. Somehow or another, I'm your eternal servant, son of Nanda Maharaj. Somehow or another, I fall into this ocean of birth and death. Please, please pick me up and place me as an atom of dust at your Lord. He could pray like that because he was understanding. He was just a tiny, which is, he's not 1/10,000 size of Jupiter. He is the source of all. Oh, two people. They both approached bona fide spiritual master. Take initiation, they get initiation into the holy name, bona fide sampradaya, bona fide process. So he says, now who reaches one of us? So who reaches the, who gets the result of their chanting first? The Muchi or the Suchi? Suchi, much less impediment, obviously, less tamagun, rajagun, he's more into sattvagun. So it seems like that maybe the Suchi would get the gold first, but Haridasa, of course, says no. The one who is more sincere, sincerity is the qualification. The one who is more sincere, then he'll get the fruit of his chanting first. So Mahaprabhu was showing that since he was just so sincere in accepting the process of chanting Hare Krishna, understanding Krishna is no different than his holy name, that the holy name revealed to him one after another, all within a few that short time. 2 days, 3 days after initiation. I wish I could have done that and gone to my spiritual master and said, I think I become Bhagala after 2 days. I'm still struggling along. So Mahaprabhu is the acharya, so he was showing by his example that how the process works if we take it sincerely, if we are sincerely following the process. The Gaudiya Math, they opened Chaitanya Research Work in Chaitanya Research Center in Calcutta. Prabhupada said, what is this research center? It's already been done. Six Goswamis have already, everything's been researched. We've got the books. We just have to apply the process, that's all. We don't have to do any more research. Research work's been done by all the previous acharyas. Prabhupada said, well, you're chanting 16 rounds? I said, yes. Huh? That's okay, you chant 16 rounds. Then he said, but no, how can I really, really understand? How can I be really positive that I'm going back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, you're following all the principles? I said, yes. You're chanting 16 rounds? Yes. And Prabhupada said, then you're going back, that is my concern. So we just have to be sincere enough to show that we're sincere, so that they're going back. That dependent on the will of Krishna and Guru. So we just depend on Krishna. It's not that we have to have all realization. We simply have serve nicely in the proper service attitude. We have to develop the service attitude of performing all our activities in the mood of expanding the pleasure of Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. With that attitude, and sincerely follow the process, that's all. And yeah, Guru, he will, that's his responsibility to take us back to Godhead. As far as we're concerned, we have the process we follow. We show we're sincere by following the process nicely, that's all. And by doing that we attract the attention of Guru, and by Guru's blessing. That is my concern, Prabhupada. You're going back, that is my concern. So today is also Gita Jayanti. Gita Jayanti. This is the day when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Gita Jayanti ki. Krishna, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Prabhupada said it took about 20 minutes, a half an hour, or something like that. So this is Krishna. The scholars and everyone there studying Bhagavad Gita whole life, still not understanding, coming to a proper conclusion. But Krishna, he just spoke it in 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. And on the battlefield, that not a very conducive atmosphere for meditating on something. But he spoke to Arjuna. And why did he speak to Arjuna? Why did he give him Bhagavad Gita? Because you are my devotee and my friend. Therefore I am revealing to you, Arjuna. I could reveal to the yogis and the jnanis, but you're just an ordinary Kshatriya, householder with wives and children. But because you are my friend and my devotee, I am revealing to you. So just as a matter of course, so this is Krishna's position. And his devotee's position. Arjuna asked, Krishna, can I see Vishwarupa? Krishna said, okay. Nobody else has seen this before. Nobody else has seen it. It's such a rare thing. Arjuna said, can I see Vishwarupa? Krishna said, okay, have a look. This is Krishna's greatness. So all that information Krishna has given. So we can know him by that. So Bhagavad Gita was directly spoken by Krishna on the Ekadasi also today. And even today we get enlightenment from it. But we have to hear this from the mouth of the pure devotee, otherwise we won't understand. It's very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita. Although it's very simple for a devotee when they hear properly from the authorized person, then it becomes very clear. Otherwise it remains a mystery. Prabhupada said anybody who reads Bhagavad Gita and doesn't come to the conclusion of bhakti, he must be a madman. Because that's what Krishna is saying throughout Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. If he doesn't come to that conclusion, he must be a madman. So, Prabhupada said, he said here now, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, Bhavanam Jamananti. What time is finishing?
Sorry?
What time does the class finish?
Usually half
past eight, that's the target. Almost half past eight now. Yeah? So, okay, Krishna says, Bahunam Jamananti, that after thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, you're searching for truth. It takes thousands and thousands of births on that path of truth. Then one comes to the understanding, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time he surrenders to Krishna. So that's the beginning. That's your sambandha. That sambandha, or understanding Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That took thousands and thousands of births to come to that stage of seeking knowledge. So Prabhupada said, now I'm telling you, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you should surrender to Him. If you hear me, and you accept that, and you surrender to Krishna, then you skip thousands and thousands and thousands of births, because you come to the conclusion of the thousands and thousands of births of seeking. So he sees the benefit of hearing from a devotee, one moment's association. You can skip thousands of births. And that practice, so this is the potency of Bhagavad Gita when it's told by the devotees or explained by devotees. Otherwise, the first time I asked someone, and I must have been about 26 years old, and I just heard of Krishna. First time I've ever heard of Krishna. From Maladesh, Krishna. But anyway, the first time I heard Krishna, and I asked someone, what does Krishna mean? Because it became popular due to Prabhupada, and Hare Krishna record was being chanted and everything. And it was popular with the hippies and things like that. And it was always on the radio because it was in the charts, in the top charts. So everybody started chanting Hare Krishna. They could hear it everywhere. I asked someone, what does Krishna mean? I said, I think it's the Indian alphabet. I said, okay. Krishna says, I'm the beginning and the end, right? The ages of Bhagavad Gita was. And I have Bhagavad Gita. I came to India as a seeker. I have Bhagavad Gita, not Prabhupada's Gita, someone else's. Actually I had two Gita. I had Christopher Sherwood, he wrote one. Also Pankajangri, my brother, had one from Gorakhpur Press. It's one of those smaller. But I also put those Gitas, three Gitas, so I put them same slogan. This was Prabhupada's process. I didn't know Prabhupada at that time. But anyway, Prabhupada, you put Vishwanath Chakrabarti, Thakur's Tika, Sridhar Swami's, Baladev. He would get all the tikkas and he would study them all and condense. And that became Bhaktivedanta Purport. Anyway, I was doing that also. I had to keep on the same page. If I couldn't understand, I was it's only getting a headache. But then I met the devotees in Jagannath Puri. It happened to be Rath Yatra. I didn't know what it was, but somehow or another I happened to be there. I heard there was a festival there. And it was Rath Yatra festival, and the devotees were there doing some Harinam in front of Lord Jagannath and everything like that. So I went up and asked them something. I'd seen them a few times in London. They used to go around they were part of the nightclub scene, and the devotees, they were in demand. So they had different music clubs and things like that, and the devotees were there at the all nightclubs. I think it was Mukunda. I asked someone later, that was Mukunda. He taught us a Swami step. He said, this is how you do it. You put right over left, left over right, and you put your arms up and you go like this, and here is the mantra, Hare Krishna. So you got everyone raving away there in the nightclubs, everyone chanting Hare Krishna. But anyway, then later on, after about 1 year traveling around in India, I met the devotees. I saw them. I'd never spoken to them before. No, I've seen them a few times. Anyway, it was an opportunity. So I went up and I asked the devotees who happened to be an Australian. His name was Bihari Lal. And Brahmachari at that time. So I said, why are you chanting Krishna's names? I said, according to the Hindu Trinity, we have Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Vishnu. This is the topmost, this is my understanding. This is the topmost thing in Hinduism, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So why are you not chanting their names of Shiva and Brahma? Why are you chanting Krishna's Brahma name? So he said, no, we chant Krishna's name because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it just struck me. I thought, wow, I've been meeting so many sadhus and Hrishikesh, listening to what's his name, Saraswati, all those. Nobody ever told me God was a person before. Oh, 99.9% Mayavad still is practically. Nobody ever told me God was a person before. I had it kind of stumped, you know, I always had a lot of questions. I would talk to people, I would say, challenging challenges and answering questions. But I had nothing to say. I was kind of stumped. Well, nobody ever told me that before, all those big sadhus. And he was a new bhakta, practically, a new bhakta. He'd only met Prabhupada within, I guess, a couple of years ago. He was able to tell me Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the big, big sadhus, glorious birth, they're born in India, top of sannyasi, top of the social orders. He couldn't tell me. And Malecha, I left you in the hands of the Malechas. Malecha, after just a little association with a pure devotee, he understood everything. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So then they showed me Bhagavad Gita and they started to preach to me. Immediately I accepted, I read Prabhupada's Gita because I had so many questions from my Bhagavad Gita, which were. I was dissatisfied. But as soon as I read Bhagavad Gita as it is, everything made sense. Everything. But when you put a person there, everything makes sense. When there's no person there, then it's all kind of hairy fairy, everything is. But when a personality is there, everything makes sense. All the questions that make sense are applied to a person. So all those questions I had, I was looking Prabhupada's Gita, perfect answer, everything, every perfect answer, all related to Krishna. I became so happy, my mind was dancing in ecstasy. Found what I'm looking for, this is Krishna, this is what we're looking for, ultimately. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the glory of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada said, somebody asked me when he was in America that, can you recommend me a Bhagavad Gita? And Prabhupada said, quite honestly, I could not. Even though in America, he said, there was about 600 or 700 different versions of Bhagavad Gita, many swamis, and went there to present it. He said, but of all those swamis and all those yogis and all the teaching, it did not make one devotee of Krishna. But since we present in Bhagavad Gita, there's thousands and thousands of devotees of Krishna. I mean, not just accepting the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna, but actually the whole lifestyle is changing, your cloth is changing, eating habits, everything's changing. It's Krishna, 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 24 hours a day. Before, we never even heard of Krishna. Man, 26, 3 years old or something, I never heard of Krishna. All of a sudden, Krishna, 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 it's all Krishna, 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 devotees, Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. This is the glories of the one moment association with the devotees. So in Mayapur today, they have. They chant the whole of Bhagavad Gita. We have a homer also, and all our Gita course members are coming in different groups. And everybody sits down, we chant the whole of Bhagavad Gita. And then on the last chapter, we offer a homa for every sloka. Okay, it goes right up to about 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Anyway, at least it's good to read the chapter of Bhagavad Gita today. As a remembrance.
Chapter 12 or chapter 15?
Yeah, I just bun one up. But. My favorite one. Chapter 15, yeah?
15. Usually 15, because chapter
12
is all about being pure devotee.
Yeah.
But this Supreme Personality of God is revealed in chapter
15 also. Yeah, the Tri Shloki Gita is there in chapter 15. Shara and Akshara, the. Was it?
Yeah.
Shara and Akshara, what's the English?
How do you get out of the entanglement of the material world?
Hmm?
How do you get out of the entanglement?
Yeah, but Krishna says there are two classes of people, Shara and Akshara. That's a Sanskrit, what is the English word?
Fallible
and infallible. There's two classes of persons in this world, the fallible and the infallible. There is the conditioned soul. We are Brahman, aham brahmasmi, but we are conditioned. We're not realizing our real identity because we're covered. And then you get a liberated Brahman. In the spiritual world, everyone's liberated. They're Brahman also, they're also liberated. So we've got two Brahmanas. You've got a conditioned Brahman, and you've got a liberated Brahman. Which I could kind of handle, okay, there's a duality. The material world is a duality, so okay. But then Krishna says, but beyond these two, there is another one. I found really confusing. That is the Parabrahman. You've got two conditioned Brahman, the liberated Brahman, and the Parabrahman. It is he enters into these worlds and he maintains everyone. So now we've got three Brahmans, because my the influence of Mayavada was very strong. So and then Krishna says, okay, now you've got three. And then Krishna says, and because I'm celebrated beyond the liberated Brahman and the conditioned Brahman and the Parabrahman, the Paramatma. Therefore, that's four, now we've got four Brahmins. Krishna says, I am celebrated as Purushottam. And Krishna's very proud of that name, he likes that name. I am Purushottam, the topmost of all persons. Right? And because I am Purushottam, I am above all these, the liberated Brahman, the conditioned Brahman, the Parabrahman, all the different avatars also, and everyone, I am that supreme. Purushottam, above everyone else. No one who knows his truth about me, he knows everything. He attains love for me, he goes back to Godhead. Tri Shloki Gita. So that one I couldn't understand. But I read that in Prabhupada's book. And in the purport, he just clinched it. Because at that time we were searching for the one. In fact, when I met the devotees in that club, Mukunda was speaking afterwards. And he was being overcooled, I think. Because of his audience, who are the kind of people you expect 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, everyone. So, Mukunda was, he gave a little speech, he said, we do everything for the one. We are doing everything for the one. He didn't say Krishna, he must have said Krishna, but I didn't hear. But he said, we're doing everything for the one. I think he's trying to be cool, you know, because of the situation we were in. So I was thinking, what's the difference between these Hare Krishna's and others. We're all doing for the one. It's all about the one. Anyway, I guess Krishna had this. I had to get rid of a few more coverings, so it took me a year or so later. Again, I met the devotees. But that in the purport of that Shara Akshara verse, Prabhupada defines oneness. And he said, oneness doesn't mean that there is oneness doesn't mean that there is no individuality, but that there is no disunity. They're oneness in purpose of Krishna consciousness. And that just kind of really, he just summarized the whole of the, everyone was searching for the one. I don't know, maybe they still are. And Prabhupada just, what is that one? Nobody knows. They're talking the one. But Prabhupada summarized it in one sentence. Doesn't mean that there's no individuality, but there's no disunity. They're all one in purpose of in Krishna consciousness. That was it for me. He summarized everything. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and summarized in one sentence. What is oneness? I immediately accepted Krishna consciousness immediately. Then the devotee said, okay, I said, I'm going now. I stayed with them for a couple of days. They're preaching. I said, I'm going now. I have to see my brother in Benares. They said, well, you're going through Calcutta. We've got a temple there. You can stay in Calcutta. So I said, okay. So I went to Calcutta. And I went into the temple and then I stayed there. I didn't leave again. And then, so that was in like June, Rathiatra. Then in February I went to Mayapur and stayed, never went back after that for about 45 years, I say. But that was the Prabhupada's potency, Prabhupada's Gita, meeting purity, where it just completely transforms your life. And some are immediate, some are not, but it is, but even if they're not immediate, even if it takes quite a few years, but still that's really, really quick anyway, relatively speaking, because we've been conditioned for millions and millions of births in this material world. Jai Shri Gita Jayanti Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Shambhaita Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Nittai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you. Sorry, I'm not hearing. Yes, speak a little bit louder. I couldn't hear it. Without the translation.
Without shlokas, just translation.
Oh, without the Sanskrit. Yeah. No, that's okay. Without Sanskrit. Prabhupada translated everything in English. No, Prabhupada was in Calcutta. He was going to Bhat Bazaar Mandir, Gaudiya Math. That with Ribhati Nandan Swami. And they have a big library there. So Ribhati Nandan, he asked Srila Prabhupada, when we go to the Bhat Bazaar Gaudiya Math, can I get some books? Specifically, I want the Brahma Samhita and the Jiva Dharma. And Prabhupada said, okay, okay. He said, but actually, my spiritual master, he wrote all those books for me. if you get the meaning of the Sanskrit, that's okay. Prabhupada told me you can chant your mantras in deity worship in your own language, in your English language. Although according to the Shastra, you should speak to the deity in Devanagari. In Sanskrit language, that's the language of the demigods. The Prabhupada told me, he said, you can say your prayers in your English language. So anyway, see, the meaning of the Sanskrit, that's what Prabhupada's getting out. That's what's the important point. Srila Prabhupada just explained how he would translate his books. give out the different tikkas, translations of the different acharyas, open same shloka, read everything, condense it. That became Prabhupada's purport. And he was complaining one time to the managers in Mayapur. He said that the devotees, they're sleeping in this lotus building. It was the first building we had, the lotus building. So the devotees were staying there, the only building. And he said that they leave the doors and windows open because it's hot. He said, but in the night time the wind comes and it slams the doors, the windows shut. He said, it's such a disturbance. He said, I'm trying to translate my books. And he said that sometimes I'm waiting for one word. I've read all the tikkas of the different acharyas. I'm waiting for one word to express the proper feeling, the proper mood of the different acharyas. He said, sometimes I'm waiting for 3 days just to get that one word. Therefore, he said, when I hear these doors slam, he said, it cracks my heart. This is what Prabhupada put into his books. 3 days just to get the proper meaning of that word. And that was for us. That wasn't for Prabhupada. He knows Krishna. These books are for us. Prabhupada said that. He said he was managing a worldwide movement. And it's all brand new, everything brand new, right? From eating, even to cleaning yourself. We didn't know how to clean ourselves. Dress, everything, philosophy, lifestyle, everything. And Prabhupada's getting phone calls and letters all the time, hundreds of letters and the phone calls. What about this? Well, because we didn't know anything. Everything was brand new, and Prabhupada was the only one who could teach us. Prabhupada said, I'm constantly having to deal with the movement and answering all these questions. Which were also necessary for Prabhupada to do that, start society with a completely different culture. And so, that's right, Prabhupada said that I couldn't do my main mission was to translate these books. This was the order of my guru. This was my main mission. And I can't do it. I'm not getting time because I'm having to manage a worldwide movement. He said, so therefore I pray to Krishna, you please make me not able to sleep at night. Then I can translate my books. Because nobody gives up their sleep. Everybody loves their sleep so much. So nobody will come and disturb him at night. And probably will have that peaceful time to translate his books. Gave up his sleeping for us. Prabhupada's compassion, which other yogi you know can give up sleep away? Another great shloka from Bhagavad Gita, Gita Jayanti, is important for the devotees of Krishna consciousness, maybe one of the most important shlokas. Vyashatmika buddhi rakiha kuru nandana babu shakai nantascha Buddhayova Vashayanam, that one should be single-minded, fixed, determination to be fixed on one point alone. So Prabhupada said, what is that point? He said, when I read the translation of Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, he said that single-minded determination is fixed on one point, means fixed on the order of Guru. One should take the order of Guru and make it his life and soul. And Prabhupada said, when I read that, it struck me when I read, and I remembered my Guru Maharaj had given me orders, and I had to execute his orders. So that became my life and soul. And practically, Prabhupada said, I based the International Society for Krishna Consciousness on this principle. So the whole International Society is based on this principle. So we can also base our individual Krishna consciousness on that same principle, making the order of the Guru your life and soul. And Prabhupada quotes a few places the same thing regarding that, and one purport, chanting the songs of Lord Shiva. The Pujetas are glorifying Lord Shiva as their guru. And in the purport there, Prabhupada, again he quotes his Vyasatmika Buddhi and Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur. One should make it the order of his guru's life and soul. And Prabhupada goes on a bit further. He said, not only one should make the order his life and soul, but he should also find out the ways and means to execute that above and beyond anything else. And not only should he find out the ways and means to execute the order beyond anything, but he should also worship that order. Because that order is our ticket back to Godhead. On the glory of Prabhupada's revelation of Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.